your host, Ben Korn.
I don't draft him. He's another one of those I don't draft. Okay. I drafted him my first year, and he was almost the reason why I did not win the fantasy title.
I did win the fantasy title, of course, okay, because I'm one of the best fantasy baseball players. Right.
Two humble brags in 10 minutes here. That's great.
And Chris Welter.
But he's led me to a decent amount of titles, you know, when it comes to fantasy baseball. So, you know, you definitely
will you
get
chill out with the humble brags? First of all, I think last year was only his first full season. And you know what? He didn't win last year, so I'm not sure.
2 years ago, I picked him up towards the end of the year, and he was a big reason why I won.
He was a flyer. He was a random dude you picked up.
Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
Rubber baby.
So it is.
Buggy bumpers.
Just like
rubber baby buggy bumpers. BK, you got tunes?
What's up, everybody? Thank you for joining us once again. Chris Welter, Ben Korn, we got your Fantasy Baseball Weekly in the house. Let's begin this episode with Chris Welter and the news.
The news with Chris Welter.
Leading the news this week is Yu Darvish being sidelined with a damaged UCL. At best, he will miss 4 months, but is likely headed for season-ending Tommy John surgery. The same problem ended Masahiro Tanaka's season early last year. He elected not to have Tommy John surgery, and so far this spring looks healthy. He is a high-risk, high-reward player with top 5 starting pitcher potential. Red Sox Cuban rookie Ruzny Castillo strained an oblique and will return to action later this week. Competing with fellow rookie Mookie Betts for the starting center field job, this will not help Ruzny's chances to open the year in the majors. Hunter Pence, long heralded as a model of consistency and health, will miss the first month of the season after taking a David Price fastball off his left forearm and fracturing his left ulna. This will likely end his streak of 7 straight seasons with more than 600 at-bats.
That is it. That is Chris Welter with the news. You know, Chris, that's what I find really interesting about that news is Hunter Pence. You know, you talk about Hunter Pence's fantasy value. How much of Hunter Pence's fantasy value actually is him playing? Like, he's not that great of a player, but he always plays.
That's a great question. It really is his consistency. None of his numbers jump off the board, but when you know you're going to have a guy for 150, 160 games, it's just sort of puts your mind at ease. And I think that's why he gets drafted so high. Granted, it's not an injury that can linger, so hopefully he's back May 1st and we never think about it again.
I just think about, you know, you see a fastball coming at you and all of a sudden it hits you in the hand, arm, and it just breaks your arm. Like, that's ridiculous.
It could linger in his head, but at least he didn't get plugged in the chin like Giancarlo.
Giancarlo Stin, he's coming back. Yu Darvish, this is crazy because I was definitely, Yu Darvish is on my list of kind of like a sleeper in the pitcher position. Now all of a sudden Yu Darvish probably not going to be with us this year.
Yeah, you can't touch him because you just have no idea what's going to happen. It's sad because he was injured last season probably with the same thing starting to build up.
Yeah, because Yu in that first half of the season was unbeatable.
Yeah.
Where
when he pitches, he's great.
And Matt Harvey, what's the latest update on him?
Yeah, good news from the Matt Harvey camp. He looked stellar in his first spring training game. I think they said he hit 99 miles an hour. He had great movement. So everything's a go, except for the innings cap. Yeah, that's going to be tough with Matt Harvey.
Player profile.
Today's player profile is Corey Kluber. He had one of the biggest breakout campaigns of 2014, going 18-9 with 269 strikeouts, on his way to winning the AL Cy Young Award. In just his second full regular season, Kluber has turned into a true fantasy stud. He uses a 3-pitch mix, but will occasionally throw a changeup to keep batters off balance. Growing up in Birmingham, Alabama, and attending little-known Stetson College, Kluber has far exceeded all scouts' expectations. He's primed for another excellent season for the Cleveland Indians.
Corey Kluber, now this is a guy right now looking at 8th on the pitcher wire. You know, you got Kershaw's number 1, and then fall down that wire, David Price, Chris Sale, Baumgartner. Corey Kluber sits at number 8. Is this kind of where you see he should be on the ADP?
I do think he should be there. I think he's right around 38, 39 on the average draft position. I don't know if I want him there. I'd rather have, you know, right around that area, you have Cole Hamels, Zach Greinke, John Lester, those guys are just a little bit more consistent. Whereas I love Kluber, but he did it for 1 year. Show me more. You got to show me more, Klubs.
I mean, keep in mind, though, Kluber led the league in strikeouts.
I know.
When you're looking for a fantasy player, you're looking for some strikeouts. I might push Kluber up to number six, number five.
You're assuming he repeats. That's risky.
But Zach Greinke, there's nothing about Zach Greinke I like. I don't know his stats offhand. No.
Well, that's your own problem.
I know, but his name is ridiculous. Zach Greinke. Don't draft Zach Greinke.
Okay, well, you bring up a lot of good points here, Ben. Very good argument.
I mean, I don't have a good argument. We know this. But my heart tells me to stay away from Zach Greinke this year. This will be the first stamp of episode 2. No Zach Greinke.
Fine. You take Kluber, I'll take Greinke all day.
I would also recommend to not pick up Yu Darvish, who is number 9 on that list.
Well, yes.
Yeah. We've established that so far in this episode.
More great points, Ben.
David Price, though, he's number 7 on that list. I think this could be the big year for David Price. You know, it seemed like he went to the White Sox, struggled a little bit last year. I think now he kind of gets into his own and plays well for that team.
Well, it was the Tigers he went to. And, yeah, it did seem to shake him up a little bit.
Did I say White Sox?
Yeah, you said White Sox.
I'm an idiot.
They got their own thing going on over Chicago. Yeah, the trade did seem to mess him up a little bit. You know, now he's going to have the regular spring training in the same ballpark. So I like David Price, too. And it's a contract year, just like Greinke. So he's going to be fired up. He's going for money.
Oh, boy.
Make that dope.
I like me some money. When you look at pitchers, how do you like to draft pitchers? I know that everybody has kind of their different mindset. Do you start off and just grab Clayton Kershaw in that first pick of the draft?
It's tempting.
Because he's mad good.
Yeah.
And he's on the Dodgers, which is a winning team, which always helps get those big
W's.
He's almost
a lock for 20 wins, which is hard to imagine.
Do you go for that in the first, second round? Do you, you know, you try and get King Felix if you can't get Kershaw? How important is, say, those top five pitchers?
It's funny. It's changed a lot in the last couple of years. 4 or 5 years ago, I would wait and just get a bunch of number two pitchers. But I think that's changed in the fact that really the top 12 pitchers are just so elite compared to everybody else. I'm not too worried about the top five. I think that's a little early, but you got to get one of those top 12 pitchers. Just because they're so much better than all the other risky players, sort of. And I'm talking ADP of in the top 40. You know, once you start hitting the Cole Hamels, John Lester, Jordan Zimmerman's really the last of that top elite tier. Because then you start getting into just riskier guys that I don't want to trust as my number one. You're talking Julio Teheran, Alex Cobb, never pitched a full season, Matt Harvey. These are all guys in the 70s of ADP. There's just too much risk there to rely on them as number one.
And we talked a little bit about Matt Harvey in the news. Mm-hmm. How skeptical are you to draft him?
He's untouchable at where he's being drafted for me. Basically because the Mets have come out and said he won't go more than 200 innings. And the way they think they're doing it is to limit his innings per start. So he could just go 5 innings for the first 3 months.
Yeah, that'd be worthless.
And in quality starts leagues, that kills you. It's really hard to get a win if you only go 5 innings. So that, again, that's even as your number two pitcher, that's pretty tough to swallow.
I look at kind of these guys in kind of the 50 range of starting pitchers. You got Yordano Ventura, Marcus Stroman, a lot of young talent that starting to bleed through. Yes, they don't have the consistency that you talked about earlier, but these guys are creating a lot of buzz. There's a lot of potential here. How much stake can you put in just drafting those, you know, first six guys all on the offensive side and then sitting back and just picking off the Venturas, the Stromans, the Shelby Millers of the world?
It's not my favorite strategy, but it could work. You just got to make sure you get a lot of them. I'm talking, if you go that strategy where you don't take a pitcher till the seventh round, you're going to want to get the next three starting pitchers, you know, so you have three potential aces, because they could be that. Yordano Ventura was close to an ace last year. You know, Marcus Stroman could do that this year, so it's a strategy. I wouldn't go about it that way. I think you need one of those top guys, but you could do it that way.
Okay.
Hey, go for it, man.
Do you have a value pick that you like?
Yeah, one of my favorite picks is Johnny Cueto. He's a guy that's going at the end of that top tier. I think he's ADP of 52 right now, which is about the 12th, 13th pitcher off the board. but people don't tend to realize how good he's actually been. Last year, he was the second best starting pitcher of anybody. And again, he's being drafted 10th overall. Now, he was injured most of the 2013 season, so people sort of forget about him, but it wasn't just last year. In 2011 and 2012, he had an ERA under 3. And actually, last year, he got better. His K rate jumped up 4 points to his highest point ever. So even if that comes down a little bit, he very easily could be a top 5 pitcher that you're drafting way past that level.
And Cincinnati, probably a middle-of-the-road team this year.
Yeah, the middle-of-the-road team, the ballpark you don't like. It's definitely a homer-friendly ballpark. But again, like I said, Cueto's made it work three of the past 4 years, or all the last 4 years that he wasn't injured.
When you're looking for, say, your number 3 pitcher, your number 4 pitcher, your number 5 pitcher, how much weight do you put on how good of a team? Like, are you just going to load up on the number 4 pitcher for the Dodgers because they'll probably win a lot of games? Do you load up on kind of this Boston Red Sox crew that should have the offense?
All about strategy today.
I'm just trying to get some vibes.
I don't worry about that too much, just because you can't predict wins. Even if you're on a great team, you're talking maybe an extra 3 wins throughout the whole season. That's not much. So with those number 3, number 4, number 5, I really just aim for upside guys that could be a number 1, number 2 pitcher for you. And if they bust, you just hit the waivers.
Speaking of bust, who are you staying away from?
A lot of pitchers, but actually the Red Sox fans will love this one. I really dislike John Lester this year. He's a guy that, in my opinion, has always been overrated. I think the Red Sox have a great hype machine here in Boston, and John Lester has been a beneficiary of that. Last year he had his best professional season. He had a 2.46 ERA. But again, he's 31 years old now, so you start to see the velocity drop. And that happened to him last year. He actually lost a full mile per hour off of his fastball last year. And again, historically, Lester's just not that great. He's good, but he's not great. His lifetime ERA of 3.58. And particularly in the last couple seasons, he had a 3.75 ERA in 2013, a 4.82 ERA in 2012. Like, is this really a guy you can trust as your number one starter?
I mean, I think he's pretty good, but I live in Boston.
See, there you go. you're fueled by the hype machine, BK.
All right, couple quick names throw at you. You tell me who you like better.
Okay.
James Shields, Alex Cobb.
Ooh, Alex Cobb for the upside.
Ooh.
He could be a top 5 pitcher if he puts it all together.
Gio Gonzalez or Alex Cobb?
I'll actually go back to Gio. I think he's very underrated this year.
What about Gerrit Cole or Gio Gonzalez?
Wow. It's funny. Cole and Cobb I consider very similar, but I'll stay with Gio Gonzalez there just for the safety. A little more consistency.
I love Gio. He's led me to a bunch of titles.
Oh, wow. Okay. You could have just told me that's where we're going. You can just say it and we'll move on.
And now it's time for 30 Seconds with a Homer.
This week it's Caleb from Mission Hill. How are we looking for the Padres, Caleb?
Righteous, man. You know, Ben, I don't know how we keep doing it, bro, but every year we keep getting better. You know what I'm saying? I like this kid, Will Middlebrooks, too. He must be pretty good with the glove to catch that babe Jenny Bell. Anyways, Mr. Korn, it's like this, bro. If Sean Matkamp and Will Myers can do anything with the bat this season, you won't see me surfing this October.
For more information about Caleb, feel free to Google Caleb McGilvery or Kai the Hitchhiker. Fantasy Baseball Weekly. I am Ben Korn. With me is Chris Welter. We just talked about the starting pitchers. Hopefully you learned a little bit about strategy and who you should be drafting in your upcoming fantasy baseball draft. We now move our attention towards the relief pitchers. Let me give you kind of the rundown of where most people are drafting, and then we'll analyze. Number 1 is Chapman. Number 2, Kimbrel. Number 3, Greg Holland on Kansas City. Number 4 is David Robertson. He's moved over to the Chicago White Sox, taking his place. At number 5 is Betances at the Yankees. Mark Melanson is number 6 with Pittsburgh. Cody Allen, number 7, Cleveland. Number 8 is Trevin Rosenthal with St. Louis. Koji Uehara, number 9 with Boston. Drew Storen, Washington at 10. Glenn Perkins at 11 with Minnesota. Kenley Jansen sits at number Dodgers. Houston Street with the Angels. Steve Sishek with Miami. And Joaquin Benoit, San Diego, at number 15. So you analyze these names, and I think the first thing that came up to me, and we've kind of talked about this, was starting pitching, is how important is wins for the baseball team. You look at somebody like Craig Kimbrell, an amazing baseball player, but Atlanta in rebuilding this year, how important is it going to be for you to not draft Craig Kimbrell because Atlanta might not give him the situations to get saves?
In general, that theory is a bust.
Whatever.
You know, you can say, oh, the team will win less games, yes, but they'll also be in a lot of closer games toward the end of ball games. So you hope that that offsets it. In general, honestly, I think it's a lot of luck, and you're just going to hurt yourself if you assume a bad team will get no saves.
So you're saying that I should draft Craig Kimbrell?
Dive in, man. Dive
in. All right. I like your style. I also like somebody like Drew Storen. I mean, you've got you know him on the Nationals. They've got a real nice starting pitching on the Nationals. Mm-hmm. That means that it's probably going to be low-scoring games. It's always going to be close. So that's my value pick of the week.
Drew Storen looks great. I'm with you on that one.
Who are you thinking for somebody to watch out for at the closing?
One of my favorite picks this year is Dellin Betances, okay. The Yankees. Now, granted, he is going at 100 ADP, so he's still being drafted pretty early, but he showed signs of being the best closer in all of baseball last year. Granted, he wasn't the closer, but he had 135 strikeouts in 90 innings.
Wow.
Last
okay.
year. There's a lot of starters that don't give you 135 strikeouts through 200 innings, so. That added value on top of being the closer. Now, granted, they haven't announced that he's the closer yet, but he's going to get that job. And once he does, if he gets you 40 saves and 130 strikeouts, that's the best closer in baseball.
So you're saying him above Craig Kimbrell?
No. Just where he's being drafted, I'd take him.
Okay.
So Kimbrell,
I'm just looking for a reason to not draft Craig Kimbrell. You're not really giving me that.
Firstly, I don't draft closers very high anyway. I know you've gone the opposite. You love to get three of the top five.
I like to get my first two is probably gonna be Chapman and Kimbrell. Like,
that's crazy.
I don't want to take Kimbrell because I took him last year and I didn't win last year. So,
but no, I would much rather Betances at 100 than Kimbrell at 50, basically.
Which is probably more likely how it's going to be drafted.
Yeah, yeah. So give me Betances in that scenario.
Anybody outside of that top 15 that's intriguing to you?
One of my major sleepers this year is actually a classic, the K-Rod, Francisco Rodriguez.
Okay.
He actually just signed with the Brewers, and I think maybe that's why he's so far down on these lists. Like, his ADP on Yahoo is 290. That's most drafts, he's not even getting drafted.
Yeah.
But again, he is the closer. He just signed in Milwaukee. And he had a great year last year. He actually had a whip under 1 and an ERA about 3 while getting 44 saves last year from Milwaukee. So granted, he's been up and down his career. He could explode. But if he does that again as your potential last pick in the draft, go for it.
Yeah, Rodriguez is going number 31 amongst relief pitchers. Crazy. Ahead of him is Tyler Clippard, who is only expected to have the closer job for like a month or two before Sean Doolittle comes back. That just shows you how little respect they're giving to Francisco Rodriguez at this point. I like somebody like Luke Gregerson. I think Houston is going to be better this year. He goes over there. He's, you look at his stats, there's really nothing impressive about his stats, but he's a young kid. They see a lot of potential with Luke. He's going 32 on the relief pitcher board. So he's another guy you could possibly pick up as a free agent if people aren't up on him being the closer for the Astros. So keep an eye on Luke Gregerson and Francisco Rodriguez. My other deep guy that I like.
Yeah, what do you got?
I don't know if I'm prepared to tell you who I'm looking at here.
That's what we're here for. The people want to know.
Joe Nathan.
Oh, the relic.
So Joe Nathan, He's a beast. You know, you look at 2-3 years ago, I mean, he was a, you know, top three, top five, you know, relief pitcher. You know, you could make a case that he just has the name, and I wanna draft the name Joe Nathan. But I mean, he's 35 plus saves the last 3-4 years. So I mean, yes, he is a relic at this point, and
I think he's 39. I
and getting
say.
Really old. But I mean, Koji Uehara is pretty old.
Well,
and he keeps going at it.
I'll get into him later. No, I got to disagree with you here. Joe Nathan worries me a lot. He was bad last year. Yeah, he got the saves, and Detroit stuck with him through the turmoil. But his numbers were really bad last year. And you just worry with a guy that old that he's losing it.
Well, they do say that the leash is not as long this year for Joe Nathan.
Well,
so.
See, that's why I love, in most of our leagues or holds leagues, I would love to pick up Joaquin Soria, who's the backup to Joe Nathan, because I think there's a good chance he takes over the job within a month or two.
Well, I'll be drafting my Joe Nathan.
I'll take Soria.
And you can take Soria.
Let's roll.
We'll see what happens, bro. Now, what you got against Koji Uehara?
Koji is another relic. Granted, he doesn't have the amount of years as Joe Nathan, but, you know, again, Koji Uehara is 39, and look, he was pretty bad at the end of last season as well. Now, the Red Sox want to play it off as fatigue. We'll see, but are you gonna trust that in a 39-year-old? I'd just rather skip over him to get some other closer.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they decided to trade Andrew Miller and kept with Koji, because, I mean, what Koji Uehara has done, you know, for a year and a half was amazing.
It was spectacular. Spectacular.
But at the end of the day, you're not impressed with his stuff. He's just really accurate.
Right. He really is a cerebral pitcher.
Yeah. A very cerebral pitcher, that guy. So, yeah, relief pitchers, if you were to analyze, you know, who your number one would be, you got Chapman, you got Kimbrel, who are you picking?
I'll go Chapman.
If you're picking Betances or Robertson?
Wow. Oh, the Yankee versus the ex-Yankee. Probably, that's a tough one. I guess I'd go Robertson just because he's done it before. You know, you do worry that some guys can't handle it mentally, and we haven't seen Betances do it yet. So,
last one, Trevor Rosenthal with St. Louis, Mark Melanson with Pittsburgh.
Again, Rosenthal was not good last year. He just has the job, so I'll go Melanson. Melanson was phenomenal.
Insight with producer Rick.
Let's take a minute and talk about my boy, Giancarlo Stanton. I am mad impressed with this dude's resilience at the plate. He looks a little bit like Hannibal Lecter with that mask on, yet can still look a fastball in the face and take it yard. This dude is the real deal down in Florida. People keep asking him if he feels okay. Here's a better question for you. Is he good enough this year to be your number one pick and number three overall in most drafts? I have this to say to all his doubters. Will 50 dingers send you on your way? That's my prediction. On my way.
On my way. Well, that's a quick look at relief pitching and starting pitching on the Fantasy Baseball Weekly podcast. But I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about probably the most important part of pitching, which is the streaming pitching. Now, I know when I first got into fantasy baseball a couple years ago, I talked to you and I said, what are the strategies that you need to use to be successful in this game? And you said, first and foremost, it's streaming pitchers. I think your line that you said is, you ain't streaming, you ain't steaming.
I didn't say that line.
Oh, okay.
You just said that last week.
Oh, yeah, right. I came up with that. I'm a genius.
Yeah. And it was just last week again, not 2-3 years ago.
Man, I tell you, time flies.
Yeah, in your mind, yeah.
What's your thoughts on streaming? I mean, you have to.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't get away without streaming in most leagues.
And just to explain a little bit, it's a lot more serious than the league we play in. Some leagues, it's not as important. Particularly, it's important like head-to-head categories league, where at the end of a week, you find yourself chasing a win or chasing some Ks to catch your opponent. But yeah, in those leagues, it's crucial. And it's tough to really pick one strategy because it depends on what category you're chasing. If you just need Ks and you can blow up on ERA and whip, that's fine. But in general, the two rules I follow are you want to find a guy with a high K rate and then a guy with a great home ballpark, or he's pitching in a very pitcher-friendly ballpark.
And something to keep in mind, one of the big things we will do here on the Fantasy Baseball Weekly podcast is kind of pick some of those guys, like maybe two or three guys in a week that were like, this guy is most likely not in anybody's team. Mm-hmm. You definitely want to have this guy on your team this week, so you can almost draft him on a Monday, knowing that you're going to need to stream him on next Saturday or next Thursday.
That'd be good. We're here to hook you up.
I mean, we're just the best.
Yeah, well, we're okay.
I mean, all right. I guess I can respect that. But yeah, we'll be kind of your streaming home, and if you have any questions, you can feel free to hit us up on the Twitter or whatever.
Oh, great.
I'm not even sure what our Twitter name is.
So. I was going to say, what?
Just search.
Do we have an email or Twitter handle?
Email, definitely not. I don't use email.
Okay.
Twitter, it's Fantasy Baseball Weekly, something like that. Just have some fun. See if you can find us.
Maybe hit us up on the IG.
Oh, the Facebook.
No. What's Facebook? What? It's Instagram.
Oh, Instagram.
Instantly gets the message out there.
What about Tumblr?
I don't know. They spell it incorrectly, so I can't appreciate that.
Okay. Joe Nathan for president?
Nope. He'll be out of the closer job by May.
That's another episode of Fantasy Baseball Weekly. Thank you so much for joining us. For Chris Welter, I am Ben Korn. Thank you so much for shipping up to Boston. I'm a sailor! Hey!